As we enter into worship, will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, it is by your grace that we come this morning with your breath of life. And so, God, we ask that you continue to pour out your blessings upon us, even as we come to praise you, give you thanks, and connect with you at the deepest level. This is why we're here, to worship, O God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our opening hymn? You may be seated, and I'll invite the kids to come join me up here. And Kelstrom, I'm going to actually ask you to join me as well for your expertise at Waterworld yesterday. Many of our families are actually camping today, and they're doing their own little service out at the campground. But we've got our folks here. And Kelstrom, as I was saying, went with the youth group yesterday to Waterworld. There's an annual Youth Water Day that the United Methodist youth have, and we made the most of it in the hot sun. So, Kelstrom, what was your favorite ride or thing that you did at Waterworld?
The wave pool was really fun, and then we also did the toilet bowl ride, so that was cool.
The wave pool and the toilet bowl ride. How many of you guys have been to the toilet bowl ride? How many of you have been to Waterworld before?
I haven't gotten to Waterworld, but I have been on the toilet.
Oh, interesting. Well, we'll have to talk about that later. It sounds, how many of you all have been out to Waterworld before, right? So tell us, Kelstrom, the wave pool, like it's kind of calm and then waves happen, right?
Yeah.
Every once in a while. And they just perpetually go, right?
Yeah.
Is there always water or do we have to wait just for the waves to come? Like, is there always water in the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about, have you been to water slides before? Is there always water in the water slide that you go in? Yeah, it doesn't stop having water in it. Well, that is kind of how God works. There's always water there. God is always there. The wave pool is always going to be moving and grooving and lifting us up and all of that, just like God does. God's grace is that abundant. And I can imagine if I were from a place like the desert and I saw Water World, I would think, holy cow, that is so much water. What are you going to do with all of that water? And that's how we can be surprised about God, too. We can say, holy cow, God, you're going to do that even more and even more and even more and have even more for me and all of my family and friends. So as you listen today in service, and as you go through your week, especially if you're at the swimming pool, I want you to remember that each little drop of water is more, gets more, becomes more and more and more, and that's how God works as well. God is just all over, abundant, and will never dry out, okay? So that's my encouragement to you today, and I think all of us can be excitedly surprised when we see that image of God. So will you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for water, and the way it reminds us of you. You never dry up, God. Thanks for flowing over us. And being enough always. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seats. Thanks, Kelstrom, for your help. We will continue in this act of worship and in this act of abundance through our time of offering. And again, as you live into this surprise expectancy of God's reality in your world, know that your abundant giving has the ways of connecting with other people, blessing them in abundant ways.
Abba.
Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to give back to you with all of ourselves through these gifts as well as our time and resources. God, we recognize that you are in the midst of our lives, holding us when we need your tender care and comfort, in the midst of loss and grief, in the midst of healing and recognizing your wellness, be with us. And God, in those places of joy and thanksgiving, let us lift our hearts to you this day. For all of this, we bring to you. For all of ourselves, we bring with gladness. And we thank you for making the little we have into the abundance that is necessary for your glory to shine in this world. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
And standing for the singing of our hymn. Would you be seated?
Please. Please join me in the scriptural meditation found in your bulletin and on the screen. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Scripture today is from John chapter 10, verse 10b. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We want to thank the Kaufmans for being our AV people for these many years. They're going to take a break from that, and we need some volunteers to help be trained. The invitation comes with a promise that we will train you. And even training you, there will be mistakes and problems, so it also comes with a promise of forgiveness and love and grace, as the Kaufmans have shared with us. Thank you so much for your service. Would you pray with me? In the world of struggle between abundance and scarcity, Lord, we pray your holy presence to give us grace to live with full hearts, open to you, ready to serve, able to change and be transformed. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our theme for the next several weeks and months, and even into the coming year, is to do with God's abundance. Now, this came out of a larger series of conversations around how we encounter life so often. And people in the world, we often use the scarcity model. You know, I encounter the scarcity model when I look at my checkbook and I look at the bills I've got to pay. That's the scarcity model right there. When I encounter the scarcity model, when I look at the number of minutes I have to do a task or hours I have to accomplish something, and I look at my energy level, that's the scarcity model, right? We husband our resources. We draw ourselves down. We don't spend everything that we have coming in so that we might have just enough to get by under the rules of the scarcity model. This is the way much of the world works. And yet, God has called us through the Holy Scriptures, through His Son Jesus Christ, and His examples throughout the world, the created order especially, about the abundance of God's love. In these conversations, came up the idea of how we move ourselves to understand not just the scarcity model, which has its place, but to live into God's abundance and God's abundance model for living. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. That seems like a pretty clarion call for what the Lord wants for us in our life. This series of questions, these themes that we are developing over the coming year having to do with abundance and living in the midst of that abundance comes with it with many different questions. And what I hope to do today is to kind of give an overview of what we're talking about. The physical representation being the water wheel. Did anybody see anything like that in the narthex this Sunday? Yes. Yeah, it spins around and around. Yes, it's on purpose. It's not an accident. We put there for a reason. The questions, however, let's go there first. As ordinary women and men exposed to the transforming word of Jesus Christ, how do we live the lives of faith and grace that God wants for us? How do we do it? What are the values that show others that we are followers of Jesus? How do we practice those principles of faith and grace so that a connection with the holy is reinforced in us each and every day so that it becomes second nature to us to reflect Christ to the world? What can we do to mature our faith? Where do we find encouragement to live uprightly before the Lord? How do we grow to meet God's expectations of us in this life? If the abundant life is the reason Jesus came to us, why is it that we live such constricted lives and so much out of the scarcity model and not of the abundance that God gives at all? Your pastor, Sarah, and I yearn for the gospel to make a difference in all of our lives. And we feel that nibbling around the edges is just not going to get us very far. So as seekers of truth and followers of Jesus Christ, this community seeks to live and do life together. We purpose to hear each other's cares, to bear each other's burdens. We show God's love and share it through this ministry so that we can live authentic, heartfelt faith in community. We seek meaningful dialogue, fruitful vulnerability. We seek faithful struggle so that those who are broken by the world may discover God's hope and abundance for their own lives. So as we learn to share this abundance with others, they might come to know how faith can make a difference in their lives as we have discovered in our own and continue to discover day by day. Now that's a lot of questions to deal with. So this coming year, as we talk about abundance made sensible through the gospel, we propose to also teach and train about spiritual practices which we will learn together, which we will practice on a Sunday morning, and which we will encourage each other to do through the week. And we've chosen for our image this image of a water wheel that's powered by God's grace. It's powered by water, fed by a flowing stream. You know, when you pay your water bill, I've mentioned this before, you're not paying for the water, although I know that's how they measure it, and they say, oh, that's so many dollars per whatever, cubic whatever, flowing foot, or right? That's what you're paying for, but it's actually not the water you're paying for. Water's free. It comes out of the sky in most places, unless you're, say, in southern Colorado right now or in California. Apparently, it doesn't come from the sky anymore, and that's a problem. Water is free. You're paying for the infrastructure to get it to come out of the faucet, and you turn the faucet, and it flows. Water is an image of God's grace. Water comes regardless if you try and capture it and put it to good use. Water flows freely like God's love for all the world to experience. So if we use a water wheel as the image, it turns to produce good in the world to align us to God's power in the world, to capture that power and put it to good purpose. We are shown through this illustration how we encounter God's grace, abundant, refreshing, free-flowing, without cost, without demand, without requirement. And we might be satisfied with that. Gosh, isn't God great? God loves me. The rest of you I have no idea about, but me? Oh my word, I'm his favorite. Right? God loves you, but I'm his favorite. Have you seen that bumper sticker? We might be satisfied with that. We might be satisfied with God's grace, but still we believe that it's not just for us to enjoy. We are a community of people that believe that God's love is meant for others too, without limit, without restriction, meant to be shared, meant to be garnered, meant to be appreciated. Therefore, through the image of a water wheel, we would illustrate how God's grace is translated and transformed into a ministry and outreach that change people's lives. So in short, a water wheel is made to turn so that even more of God's goodness and grace might be shared by us from the bounty of God onto the world. Now fret not, we're going to cover this image again and again, and I hope it becomes second nature to you to understand the inner workings of what we're talking about. But together, friends, we interpret God's grace to the world. Together we experience God's love, and through our spiritual practices we become part of the work of God. We become part of the transforming work of God, not just for ourselves and our growth, but for the transformation of the world. This is the purpose of both sacred community and individual faith. You and I are called to transform the free flowing of God's grace into worship, into ministry, into praise, into service, into study, into growth and outreach, and make disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the world. What are some of the things that you can tell me that are made by a water wheel? What does a water wheel produce?
Power.
Water. It produces water, okay. All right. I know it's a little bit ancient and out of time, but you know, they used to grind grain this way. Right, they mill things. This is what a miller
does, right? Grinds grain using the power of a water wheel. Sawmill, right? Bellows, works a bellows for a blacksmith. This is one of the earliest ways that we in the Industrial Revolution used, and Professor can tell us all about that, can't you? How Professor Fruehling will have a class afterward about how the water wheel transformed all of Western civilization. This is industry, right? Now, we think we use a lot of power now through fossil fuels and so forth, but this is how it all began. And it is an illustration of how we can turn God's ubiquitous and amazing grace into an astonishing array of outreach and hope and promise to other people. J. Ellsworth Callis, in his book From Empty Nets to Full Lives, writes of one encounter which lent itself to sharing with others what's most important to us in all the world. He refers to a person he knows, and he writes, "I think of a suburban woman who was playing tennis with her good but quite secular friends. In a conversation break between the sets of tennis, she began referring to something that she had read. And by adding one word, she transformed the conversation from a simple exchange of words to an opportunity for further conversation. Instead of saying, and it would have been easy to say, 'I read something this morning,' instead, with no attempt at piety, she simply introduced the word devotional. 'In my devotional reading this morning.' It wasn't a major soul-winning engagement. It was, however," he writes, "a true sharing of grace, a sowing of seed, a moment of potential transformation by a word, by a willingness to reveal to others that you are on a spiritual journey and are engaging in spiritual practices. You can open the door of grace to somebody who may be struggling as much as you and I are without the resources of God to help them." The issue, my friends, is not that we should be more aggressive about sharing our faith. The issue is that we should be more sensitive to the needs of others around us and more open to the subtle prodding of the Holy Spirit. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and people in their pain makes us more open to God and God's purposes in our everyday life. Bishop Scott Jones of the Kansas West Annual Conference has said, "It's not that we have nothing to do as seekers and followers of Christ. It's that in our concern over how others might think of us, you and I are doing nothing to share our faith." And this is at once convincing and biting to many of us here today. At the turn of the last century, Billy Sunday was a popular outfielder in baseball's National League. Now, I know that none of you were around at the turn of the last century in the 1880s, but he became a most celebrated of influential American evangelists during the first two decades of the 20th century. Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday. He's the one who said, "Going to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car." And more than a century later, it's still true. What might we do to become the face of Christ to the world and to lend ourselves to the turning of the wheel of grace, to the capturing through spiritual practices of His hope, His promise, His plans for our life? That grace is not something we just experience for ourselves, but something that we experience on behalf of others to share. It's not going to happen by accident, friends. It will not materialize outside the rich encounter with God and the support of sacred community. Continuing in the way of growth and maturing in our love of God, neighbor, and self as disciples of Jesus Christ in the Wesleyan tradition, that's our motto. It's not going to transpire without practice, practice, practice. Our son is about to have his third child. They announced to us last week it's going to be a girl, a baby granddaughter, and we're just over the moon. And when I teased him about it a little bit, I can't imagine you think of me as a teaser for my kid. "Son, how did this happen?" And he says to me, "Dad, practice, practice, practice." So that's exactly what we're asking you to do with us in the coming month, to help prepare God's faithful people for the next decade. Practice your faith. The wheel of ministry turns by the power of God's grace and produces harvests of goodness that influence the world. Things like Christian discipleship, missions from the heart, music, Christian witnessing, and preaching. For we choose life abundant in God's grace. We choose not just to operate out of scarcity. We make a choice and a decision to align ourselves to God's abundance, not for well-being in the material sense so much as fulfillment in our spiritual sense. And when we listen to our friends and neighbors, isn't that what we hear? Every day I go to work. I do my job. I come home. I watch the Rockies lose a game that they should have won. And then I go to bed. And then I get up. And I go to work again. Work, work, work. But no fulfillment. The people of God choose a life of God's abundance and grace. We choose to align ourselves to His abundance so that we might capture God's goodness to show and share with the world, to experience God's grace by training, by practice, by experience. Now, if I haven't made it clear yet, let me share with you that the buckets on the wheel represent spiritual practice. There are broad categories and individual experiences in that. The buckets fill with God's grace by our practicing those things that allow us to capture God's grace. Some broad categories for God's grace might be worship or prayer or stewardship. But each of these things have little practices inside of them to help us fill the bucket. All right? It's an image I hope that will reveal God's deep grace and our purpose in capturing the energy that's produced in a water wheel, for example, to turn things around and produce goodness for the world. Underneath the superheadings that I mentioned, prayer and stewardship and worship and confession, there are tons of specific approaches which Pastor Sarah will expand upon and we'll talk about next week as we practice our faith in the months ahead. Under prayer, there's contemplative prayer, intercessory prayer, bidding prayer, breath prayer. Under stewardship, there's simplicity, there's self-control, there's joy, and of course, there's tithing. Under service, there's work done inside the church, and there's work done outside in the community. In essence, my friends, anything that we might pursue which would help align us with God's grace, God's plans, is a spiritual practice that we wish to explore as the year unfolds and our hearts grow ever closer to God. If I may, I'd like to share with you an example that happened to us last weekend. Our son-in-law, Dusty, is a pretty good baseball player. it's not semi-pro ball, but it might as well be for the way he plays it. He's a shortstop, he's very energetic, and he was elected to his all-star team. So last Saturday, we went to the all-star game. They lost, but he played it with such energy and grace, and we want to be there to support him and encourage him in his passion. He's a young man, and who knows how long he'll play baseball, right? So Dusty is playing baseball. We're behind the plate, behind the cage, behind the backstop, sitting in some pretty nice seats there at Golden High School. If you've ever been there, it's quite a nice setting. And we watched several at-bats by his team. And it goes along as it will. And out of nowhere, a little girl about 10 years of age comes up to us and says, "Can I pet your dog?" Well, yeah, the dog loves to be petted. Of course you can pet the dog. Come and pet the dog. And she pet the dog and began in a conversation about 90 miles an hour about her life. Otto loved the attention. And this little girl, who we learned later was named Alexis, told us all about her life. Now, my wife, Beth, is a speech and language pathologist working with children all her career. She is great at this, opening up a little child and letting them talk. And yet it was to me that I felt most drawn to Alexis, and she to me. This
this little 10-year-old girl bubbling on about her dog, her day, her family, and her move to Las Vegas, which she wasn't entirely sure of. And as one inning melted into the next, Alexis breathlessly told us about herself and her life. She was going to be in fourth grade in Commerce City. Commerce City called Dog Town. I've heard it called that because I used to work out there at the bread factory. She knew about the bread factory, and she knows she smelled it every time she went by, and she thought, oh, how wonderful. She breathlessly told me about her little daddy, her daddy, who was one of the umpires at the game. She lived with him, and she was one of about half a dozen children, a yours, mine, and ours situation. But her mom and dad got divorced a few years ago, and we heard more details about that than I care to hear. She lived with her dad now because her mom was pregnant with a fourth child, all from different men. And mama had nowhere to stay right now, so she couldn't live with her. Soon she might be moving to Las Vegas because they'll be closer to her dad's family. And she wasn't sure if she liked the idea because she'd have to make all new friends, all in a new school. And she didn't know her aunties and uncles so well on her dad's side. I felt it sobering as an encounter, reflecting on the ruptured nature of this little one's home situation. Our hearts went out to Alexis as she tried without the right words to explain half-brothers, real sisters, part-brothers, and total strangers, all of whom were part of her patchwork family circus. But in that moment, Beth and I both felt the Lord himself had put us in that situation, not to watch a baseball game, but to have a little girl come on the bleachers with us and pet our goofy little dog, Otto, for all seven innings of the All-Star game. There was no higher calling. There was no other reason for it. There, little Alexis, a lonely little lost one of God's flock, a girl starving for attention, yearning for direction, and seeking out patience, safe adult confidants to puzzle out a life which was well and beyond even my comprehension, let alone a little girl going into the fourth grade. We are challenged each and every day, friends, whether we recognize it or not, to engage in ministry that God would plan, to interrupt our days, our schedules, our scarcity models, to disrupt them with the abundance of God's grace and human need. And it seems clear in times like these, in times like ours, we need practical helps and insightful messages and willing hearts and vibrant images and convincing words and meaningful sacrifice and spiritual courage to live out what it is that God has called us to. If indeed the purpose of Jesus Christ is that we would live life abundant, then what the heck are we doing with our time unless we make some of it for little girls like Alexis to tell us about her troubled life? Now, the least we could do for Alexis is to pray for her, and I encourage you to do that. Her life is really blown up. Until such time as maybe a teacher in school or a Sunday school friend or one of her aunties or uncles might love her enough into the present and through the difficulty that she's experiencing. And we've prayed for her several times, and I just open up your hearts to pray for her too. Faith is exercised, friends, in the here and now rather than the now and again. Faith is exercised in the moments that we plan and the ones that come out of left field, so to speak. Faith is in the practical realm, but we work on it, rather than in the abstract realm that we think about it. And so practicing our faith in our personal lives means making our faith essential to grounding ourselves in the earthly mystery and the divine realities. Practicing our faith, even weakly at first, is the beginning of embracing God's wider influence and grace for living a lifelong adventure with him. Practicing our faith opens the door to the abundance of God's kingdom. And it's about intentionally changing our patterns for living into that kingdom day by day. Choose now. What pattern would you change this week, this morning, this moment, to begin to practice what we witness and believe God can do in other people's lives as he has done in our own. Now, as I mentioned, in the weeks coming, and next week particularly, Pastor Sarah will be talking about spiritual practices and giving examples that we might get a broader idea. But the wheel, the water wheel, produces ministry by capturing God's grace. Let me end with this poem by Edgar Guest, an American poet. He writes, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, and women. For to see good put to action is what everybody needs. I came to give you abundance, and that, amazingly, is ours." We would share Holy Communion together as a sign of God's grace and abundance in the midst of our scarcity models, and be mindful of God's sacred and special practice inside of our lives. Amen. Christ our Lord invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sins to seek one another and to live in peace with each other. And so let us offer our confessions in silence to God. Let us ask for God's mercy. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Hear the good news that while we were still sinners, God gives us his love, and Christ died while we were still sinners. This proved God's love for us, so that in Christ Jesus, you and I are forgiven.
The Lord be with you.
We lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is good to give our thanks and praise to God now and always. It is a good and joyful thing to give praise everywhere to God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. As God, you who brought forth the waters in the heavens and on the earth, calling out life and new creation, and as you call us to the tree of life, from whence streams of abundant love flow, and as you continually nourish our spirits, we give you thanks. Your grace flows freely to us and all creation, beckoning us to live lives of hope, freedom, and purpose. Therefore, in hopeful anticipation, God of salvation, God of the nudges, God of hope and deliverance, we turn to you in this hour, our source of faith, of living and fruitful spiritual practice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, O God,
As he promised abundant life for everyone who turns in faith to you, we align our souls, dreams, and lives to your holy vision. Freedom for the oppressed, justice for the accused, food for the hungry. Jesus continually renews our spirits as we practice our faith. And today we claim your promise of abundance, even as we recall Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. He was betrayed by those who loved him. He was persecuted by those who feared him. He was crucified by those who thought that his death would be the end of him. And yet, on the night that he was betrayed, he gave himself up for us. Jesus took bread and gave it to you, giving thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks, shared it with his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
So we pray, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Consecrate us and these elements to thy service as we partake in the abundance and grace of God. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us share with one voice the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To come and assist, come at this time. We'll have two stations, one to my right and one to my left. The one on your right, my left, will have the gluten-free elements, if that's a concern to you. They'll be on this side. We do have a prayer partner in the back of the sanctuary to pray with you, and one in the front. Betty will be in the back, and someone will be in the front to pray with you if you'd like that, having received the elements. So we invite you to come to taste the abundance of God's grace in the midst of our lives.
desire the sacrament. Gracious God, we are thankful for all your many gifts and mindful of the way your grace flows freely to us and to all the world. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, to encourage us that we might be a source of encouragement to others. In experiencing your abundance, Lord, we pray that you would teach us humility, give us grace, and help us to worship. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please rise with me as we sing our closing song. Grace of God be with you this week. May you seek spiritual practices that draw you closer to God, capture His grace, and may you share that grace and love in meaningful ways when the Spirit of God gives you the opportunity. Go in God's abundance. Know that abundance is real, and strengthen yourselves in His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.